Maseches Demai, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Vav, 7-6. This Mishnah is not that difficult, but it's a bit abstract. I'm going to try to explain it sort of in general terms before the specific words of the Mishnah. So let me explain. Let's say hypothetically a person has three baskets of figs. Let's say each basket has 102 figs inside of it. And let's say in each of the baskets, because there's 102 figs, as we said the math in the previous Mishnah, roughly two would go to Truma Gedola, 10 would go to Maaser Rishon, 9 goes to Maaser Sheni, 2 plus 10 plus 9 is 21. So of the 102 figs, 21 are going to go to various tithes. Now the truth is, since he has three baskets, he has to take 21 figs in various tithes three times. 3 times 21 is 63. So of his three baskets, of 306 figs, 63 need to go to various tithes. Now, this is not a math problem, so don't get so bogged down by the numbers yet. I'm just being specific. But the idea is that he has to give, let's say, 63 figs in total out of all the figs. And he could take those 63 figs out of basket A, or basket B, or basket C. No problem. However, let's say hypothetically he says, I want to localize the source for my various tithes. And he says, whatever tithes need to come out of basket A, they should go into basket B. In other words, basket B will answer up for the tithing obligations for A and B. That being the case now, he could eat the food of A because it's been tithed. Like whatever obligations need to be taken more, they need to come from B or C. There's no Trumas Meiser, etc., or Truma Gedola in basket A anymore. So something has changed. Even though economically he had to give a total of 63 figs from the three baskets, now the 63 figs that have to come for those 306 figs, none of the 63 can come from basket A, because he moved all the obligations out of basket A into basket B. So while before he did that movement, he could have taken figs from any of the three baskets and called that Truma Gedola, and similar for Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. Once he says B is got the Trumas, the tithes for A, no longer can any tithes come from A. A is fixed up, and the tithes for A have to come from B. Okay. Now, since now A has become chulin, it's become, you know, tithe food, it's not available to answer up for B. So if a person would say, I want to move my tithing obligations from A to B, that's effective. A becomes edible. B just has like a double obligation, so to speak. If you'd say, you know what, I changed my mind. I'd actually rather eat from basket B, and the tithes that are in B, which would now be the double tithe, a total of, let's call it 2 times 21 or 42 figs, he says the 42 figs will come from basket A. So then that is not effective, because basket A is no longer available to be a source of tithes because it's now chulin. Okay? As for basket B's obligations, it could still come either from B or it could come even from C, because B and C are all the same, just a bunch of figs. Okay? So the first parts of the Mishnah now become essentially straightforward. That's what I said. It says, Mishnah Vav reads, Ha'ilafanav shtei kalkalo shtel tevel. The person has two baskets of tevel. I said three, but two for now. He has two baskets of figs, and they're both equally obligated in tithes. Va'amar, if he says, Ma'asros zubazu, he says, whatever tithes have to take out of A, they'll come from B. That's effective. He relocates the obligation of A onto B. B now has like a double obligation, so to speak. And harishonim musaris, as for A, it's totally tithed and ready to be eaten from. If he says, after that, shel zubazu, if he says, you know, I changed my mind, let the obligation of B go back into A, and I'll take the 42 figs, if you will, from A instead of from B, and I'll eat B. No, it doesn't work. Harishonim musaris, just A remains tithed, and B has the double obligation, both for B and what was in A. The reason is because, as I said before, A became chulin, it became tithed, and is no longer available to act as the source of tithes for B. If, on the other hand, he says, Masrosein Masaras Kalkala Bachaverita, if he says, I want the tithes that have to go from A onto B and from B onto A. The words literally mean their various tithes should go onto their friends. Each basket's tithing obligations should be localized in the other basket. And so you have A going to B and B going to A simultaneously. Kara shame, that is effective. So what does that mean? So the first pshat in the Bar Tanura means that he's now localized A to B and B to A, he can't switch anymore. He has to, what he said stands. So economically, nothing has changed. Before he made any declarations, he had a total of 102 figs in A, 102 figs in B, let's say 102 figs in C, for a total of 306 figs. He has to give 21 figs into various tithes from each of the three baskets. 3 times 21 is 63 figs. And he could pull those 63 figs out of A or B or C. They all are much of a muchness. However, once he says the tithes from A are going to B, now it must come from B. A is now exempt, and he can't transfer the obligations from B back onto A. So similarly, if he says A's obligations are in B, and simultaneously says B's obligations are in A, what that would mean is that now the tithes for B must come from A, and tithes from A must come from B, and before he said that, he could have hypothetically taken all 63 figs out of C and tithed A, B, and C. But now he can't. He cannot take the tithes for A and B out of C because he said B's are in A and A's are in B. So he's locked them in. What he says stands, and he's localized the source of the various tithes. So although by saying A is in B and B is in A simultaneously, he doesn't change his economic obligations. Now he has sort of changed the rules of where he can take the tithes from. That's the first shot. Second shot in the Bar Tanura is when he says, Mas Rosein Musaras Lakukala Bachaverta, what it means is the tithes of A and B will come out of A and B wherever and whichever. I'm open to either one. So now that also works according to that shot, meaning he can still, he has his options. He can take Brera style, meaning he can eat from A and then it'll just be that B is the source of the tithes, or he can eat from B and A will be the source of the tithes. And according to that second shot, the Tana here says, that's effective. Karashem, that's effective. He can rely on Brera to say, you know, I'll eat from whatever basket I feel like, and the tithing obligations will be on the other basket. Let me just summarize and repeat this Mishnah because it's important, it's clear for the coming Mishnah, so you get this basic principle. So what we're saying is that if you have figs and they have equal tithing obligations, any fig will do as a source of tithes for the other figs. So you have two baskets or three baskets. You could take from any of the baskets for all the figs in the group. However, what you say matters. If you say, I'm localizing the source of tithes to a particular basket, like I'm saying the tithes for A will be taken out of basket B, now you're stuck. You must take the tithes for basket A specifically out of basket B. And that is binding. And similarly, once you've tithed A by saying all its tithes will be taken from B, making A now chulin and edible, you no longer can ascribe any tithes from A. So prior to saying that, you could have taken, for argument's sake, before I said anything, you could have taken tithes, you could have taken figs out of A as a tithe for A or B or C. But now once you said the tithing obligation of A will be transferred to B, you can't use A as a source of tithes for B or for C for that matter. Even if you try to say, I've changed my mind, that the obligations of B go back to A, that's totally ineffective because it wants to become chulin and, you know, and properly tithed, and no longer can be a source of tithing. So we have two principles. First of all, what you say matters. If you try to localize the source of a particular tithe, that works. And second of all, once something has been tithed, it's chulin, it no longer can be a source of tithe for something else.